Good morning. In today's gospel from St. Luke, the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes due to the gathering where Jesus welcomes sinners, eats with them, and offers his salvation leads to Jesus teaching two parables of his grace towards sinners, that our Savior and Lord Jesus perpetually seeks to save his lost is not only his holy good shepherd grace, it is our very salvation. Today's second lesson from the author's first letter to Timothy reminds us, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, overflowing with mercy and compassion, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you lead back to yourself all of your people who go astray through your Son, Jesus, Holy Gospel, Good Shepherd Grace. Continue to preserve all of your people in Jesus' loving, holy, good shepherd grace, that we reject whatever is contrary to you and follow only your will that sustains our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world, for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters, including our brothers and sisters in the Bahamas, as well as in this country, who some will take years, if not decades, to recover from the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, all victims of human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As on Mount Sinai, the people grow restless and make a golden calf to worship. Today's lesson highlights Moses as the mediator between an angry Lord God and the Lord God's sinful people. Moses reminds the Lord God that the Israelites are the Lord God's own people and boldly asks for mercy for them. The first lesson is from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." Word of God, word of life. The letters to Timothy are called the pastoral epistles because they contain advice especially intended for the leaders in Jesus' Holy Catholic Church. Here the mercy shown to St. Paul, who once persecuted Jesus' church, is cited as evidence that even the most unworthy may be saved by and become witnesses to Jesus' holy good shepherd grace. Second lesson is from Paul's first letter to Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invincible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus teaches two parables about a curious connection between the lost being found and sinners repenting. Jesus takes the initiative to find and save sinners, each of whom is so precious to him that the sinner's salvation brings joy in heaven. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen and be taught by Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them the first of two parables. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when the shepherd comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over a sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Jesus then taught them the second parable. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When the woman has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Grace Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here this day to honor the Sabbath, to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, once again to be cleansed in the righteousness of your only begotten Son, who you sent into your world always to save it and never condemn it. In his righteousness, we are also called and sent through the power of the Holy Spirit's help and guidance to continue to remind in your often troubled world that it is your kingdom, that your will is being done in with and through your Son and his missions and ministries, and we are invited to be part of it, to bring the good news that the kingdom of heaven is breaking in all around us, and each day is another day closer to his return, and each day is another day closer to the full elimination of all evil, sin, and death. We are always called to celebrate those things and bring the good news. If it costs us our life, so be it. They can never take our salvation in your Son. We're so grateful for that comfort and that good news. And keep pushing us forward in faith. Where we're on track, return us. And where we're off track, return us. And where we're on track, keep making us go full speed ahead for the gospel good news. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you here today. A couple other things just briefly. If you're wondering why there is cake here today, it is the celebration of the 17th anniversary of my ordination, which was September 9th of 2002. One of the things that I notice that each year as it goes by, I need my glasses more and more, especially at the first service. I come over, right, and there's more light by this one, but they're over there this morning, and when I forget them at the first service, I know that I've forgotten them. The other good news is try to mark your calendars and see if you can free up this date. We are pending final plans. We are going to do the dedication, which is a Saturday of the Lord's new facility, on Saturday, December 14th, okay? So try to get that penciled off. It was moved to the 14th because I heard that, your whispers. My ears are still 17 years young. Well, the reason it moved is Don and Joanne Chase never ask for anything. They only give. And Don sent an email from on behalf of him. He says, we really, really want to be there, and we have a commitment on the 7th. And I made a command decision because I knew you would agree with me. We moved it to the 14th. If you're visiting, Don and Joanne were the reason there's a steeple on the top of the church. We were postponing that. So we like you and love you. We definitely want you to be there. So the 14th is a Saturday. You'll get more information, but try to block your calendars off for that morning, okay? The great good news of today's gospel is it comes on the heels of last Sunday's gospel, which was very difficult. But that's why we have today's gospel. We finished off chapter 14 of St. Luke's gospel, and then we come to what Jesus is teaching today. He has been followed by mobs of people. We are told by St. Luke, our historian of all the gospel writers, there are thousands upon thousands, and they're still there today. Those thousands upon thousands have actually, by my opinion, been irritating Jesus. He's been teaching them all along. He's been curing their sick. He's been raising the dead. He's been challenging the religious authorities. And all they want are earthly things. They loved it when he fed them. They loved it when he raised the dead. They loved it when he healed them. And he's been talking about heavenly things, and he gets mad. And he turns to that large crowd, and he gives us the hardest teaching, I believe, from St. Luke's gospel. You want to be my disciple, you must hate your father and your mother. You must hate your spouse and children. You must hate your siblings. You must hate your very life itself to be my disciple and follow me. Pick up your cross, bear it, and follow me. That is an incredibly difficult teaching by Jesus. He clearly uses the word hate. And if someone, I preached this last week, says, well, we really know what Jesus meant 100%. Just smile and laugh. Jesus is allowed to say things that continue to be maybe a little bit mysterious because he is Lord, Master, King of the universe. God can say whatever God wants, whether we like it or not. Or if you don't like it, be like Moses and go challenge God. Maybe he'll tell you. But incredible, embedded in that teaching, Jesus is teaching something that's very relevant today. Jesus is teaching them, what are you putting before me? What are you putting in front of my relationship with you? I am first and foremost in everything. Everything, 100%. The crowds weren't doing that. It's very clear in his teaching with St. Peter at a later date that he says that. You remember the story. When Jesus continues to teach about his death and resurrection, Peter says, you will never die, Lord. Heaven forbid that should ever happen to you. What does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You are focusing on earthly things, not heavenly things. Seems to me he's doing that in his teaching last week to everybody, including us today. But then he gives us the great good news and says, rejoice. This gospel parlays onto that perfectly. Rejoice, Jesus says. I know you're human. I know you're going to do things at times where your family's going to come first. Your possessions are going to come first. You are my flock, and I love you, and I embrace you. I am always seeking you. I am always searching for you. I am your great good shepherd, and I'm sweeping the dust of the sin out of your life. And this is incredible good news. He had to have been excited about teaching this today because the tax collectors and sinners and those who were gathered had been told all along, you will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. Or if you're ill, you're ill because you're being punished for your sins. And Jesus turned all that upside down. He's inviting them all into the kingdom of heaven. This is incredible good news for us, isn't it? Jesus says, I will seek you and tap you on the shoulder. Turn to me, my child, my brother and my sister, my daughter and my son, and return to me and receive my loving embrace. I will lift you up and carry you on my shoulders. And I will search as the woman did forever to find you. Turn back to me. This is incredible good news. He says, I don't care what your profession is. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I am your good shepherd. And I am always seeking you. Rejoice at this incredible, incredible good news. The great day to have cake. Because he's here and he's always seeking us. One of that things in there is welcoming, which Jesus is. And I think if you notice anything about me, even if you're a first-time visitor, I try to be very welcoming for you that's visiting first time. That's why Joey always groans when I say there's another new ministry, which happens almost weekly. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, he has. But if you think about these two parables, and then you think about the Lord's new building, the first piece of theology that I brought to the building committee about this building was that out of the three things that I thought theologically the Lord, through the Holy Spirit's help and guide, just wanted us to do for Him, was that it's welcoming. And what does that mean? It's not just because the narthex is large. It's welcoming for the tax collectors and the sinners to come in, for the lost, for those who maybe feel they can't be forgiven. And they're going to find out they can, because the Great One is seeking them, is always looking for them. And that's the incredible good news of what's happening there. It's welcoming, then functional, and then expandable, but it's welcoming. Can you imagine the first time 3 years from now when this gospel goes through the lectionary cycle and we hear it again and we know that's what we've been doing all along? You don't seem excited. I'm excited about that. Because the Lord's house should be this gospel, not just hear it, but be it and live it. And Jesus knows. He said, yeah, when you formed in 2016, January, you had one Girl Scout troop, didn't you? Now you have three. Meeting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Mike's wife, Carol Sinella, plans on opening up on Fridays an Alcoholics Anonymous group. So if you're addicted, you're welcome to the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord can get you through it. If you're a young girl, the Daisy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, you're welcome and you have a home. And I got to see Diane Gold, who leads the Tuesday Girl Scouts. I was leaving Bible study. And those kids and her are excited. They're taking a calendar and counting the days off. They don't have to be here anymore. And they have their own home. Because we welcomed them with open arms. And Vicki Carmel, who's now studying to get a degree in teaching through a theological seminary, is going to start a youth group in this January. Oh, my heavens. Isn't that incredible good news? So if you're a teenager in high school, you're welcome. And you all remember what it was like to be a teenager. 17 years ago, I remembered better, but I do. They're going to have a place in a home where they hear and they learn about the Good Shepherd who loves them and will guide them all through life, wherever they go, if they just listen to Him. My heavens, you should be excited about this. And God sometimes tells you and lets you smile. I still have a dumb phone, a flip phone. I love my phone. It costs me 99 cents. Sometimes people text me, and usually it's parishioners, and they don't tell me who they are. I know you all. I know all of your names. I don't know your cell phone numbers. And I love it. Why? Because if you would like to take my phone and then take the phone roster and type in all of the cell phone numbers so your name pops up, how much time do you have? And I always... What's that? But you have less names to type in. She said, I don't put nothing in there. That's a sermon for another day. I like to show Michelle in the office when I get one during the week, and I'll go, hey, look at this, and I'll read it to her, and I'll go, hey, they didn't sign it, and I have no idea who this is. Well, I got one of those on Friday, and it went like this. Hey, Pastor Dave, we went for a tour at the new church. Oh, my heavens, it is awesome. Your office is really small. We're so excited. Great. So I had to text back, that is wonderful. I don't care about the size of my office. It was meant because that's not a welcoming place. The rest of it is. I don't need much space. I have a flip phone. It doesn't take up much space. But I said, who are you? Pastor Davis, Joe and Sandy Capelli. Joe and Sandy Capelli from the First Service who joined Rock of Ages Lutheran Church. They went on a tour of the Lord's new facility because they know they are still welcome if they would like to worship with us or serve. But they went out of their way to go on a tour. That is incredible good news. And we celebrate those things because they know who we are and whose we are and who we serve. But it got even better than that. That when I received, sometimes the Lord says, now I send you out as the good shepherd to go seek the coin in the sheep and have some fun with it. Do you have fun with those things? Are you timid or bashful? Come on, seize the moment. You know, I always preach that. I was watching football yesterday. Imagine that. I'm a huge football fan, if you're visiting. And I had a really bad Sunday night last week because I'm from the Steeler country, and so are George and Jenny Flanagan, and we both bet Don and Joanne Chase a dollar on the game, and Don came up smiling and put our dollars right there. So I'm thinking, yesterday has to get better. And I'm a Pitt Panther fan, and I went over to Beef O'Brady's, and they got big new TVs, and then the coaching fell apart at the end, and Penn State won. And I knew it was going downhill from there, because my Seminoles were playing that night. If the Steelers lose today, I'm going in my office tomorrow, I'm closing the door, and putting my head on my desk. I didn't pray. No, you... Yeah, there's no praying the Seminole coaching staff away. I don't know about that one. So, love the kids, don't know what the coaching are doing. And then incredible good news, I'm watching the Pitt game and the door opens. And when the door opens there, the glare hits you and you look. And I knew that person. And they didn't see me. They came in with two guys. I went in this one time. I got up and I went over to see them and I walked up and they're sitting. And I said, Gene Contini, how are you? You remember Gene from this service? Do you remember him at all? He used to come to first in this service. He always came back and helped Gary reset. If he came at 8 o'clock, he would come back and reset. And a long time ago, when he was here and he came back, it was right at the exact same time that the Lord said, I don't want you to have that land on Sunset Harbor Road, that 10 acres, if you remember. And we had denounced that day. And after we were resetting in the kitchen, he walked in behind me and he said, Pastor Dave, looks like we're going to be here a while. I turned around to Gene, and this is all I said. I said, Gene, you might be here a while, but I have no intention on being here a long time or a while. That hit him wrong, and he left the church and joined Trinity. I could have ignored him when he came through those doors. Nah. That flies in the face of this gospel. So I went over and said, Gene, how are you? And he had a big grin. I'm doing really well. How are you? How would you like to meet my son? And he was wearing a Florida State shirt. So I warned him, we'll be crying later on this evening. And he agreed. That's incredible good news. But that took being the good shepherd, getting up off that stool. But God wasn't done with me that day. As Pitt was heading down in flames, the door opened again. And two women came in and sat down. They didn't see me either. So I got up again. Larry, who I was hanging out with, he said, what are you doing? I said, oh, those old former members. And he's like, you're nuts. I'm like, of course I'm nuts. I'm Christian. I went over. And I said, Donna Kangas, how are you? She said, Pastor Dave, it is so good to see you. If you remember, Donna and Glenn left. Glenn was our treasurer. When all the turmoil started, they weren't comfortable, and they went to Hope Lutheran Church. And unfortunately, right after that, Glenn died from liver cancer they didn't know he had. She was with her friend. She introduced me. She said, I'm doing really good. I moved away after Glenn died. I moved back to Michigan, but I'm back. She goes, I already know all about you, and I'm going to be coming to worship with you either permanently or visiting. I'm just waiting for you to get into the new site, and I know exactly where it is. And she got up and gave me a huge hug. If you don't get up, I was not worried about rejection. I don't, if it was rejection, it was. Deliver the welcome and be the good shepherd. Man, what a great day. I'll remember that with Gene and Donna. I will forget on purpose Pitt and Florida State. But sometimes people realize that you're welcoming. And they say things to you. If you are, they will find you and say things. And God is always surprising. And man, I got surprised on Thursday. I found out Larry Reinhart was at the Buffalo Crossing Rehab. Larry had all that back surgery in Pennsylvania, which we didn't know about. Came back here, fell. And I was worried that he might have some permanent damage. So I'm walking in to go see him. A beautiful place if you want to go to rehab. Buffalo Crossing Rehab. You really ought to go there and make it a hotel stay. It is that nice in there. It's really, really nice. It's next to Walmart on 466. We have two parishioners who live there in assisted living. It's a lot like where Libby lives. The Willows down there is very nice as well, where Libby and David live. So I'm walking by. There's four people playing a game, four women, and all of a sudden I hear, hey, I know you. And I looked over, and I'm about this close, and I walked over. So there's Barb sitting there. I said, hi, that's good, but I don't know you. And she said, I see you all the time coming into Villages Hospital. I volunteer there. And then she said this. I am absolutely not surprised to see you here visiting someone. On behalf of all of us, which we all do ministry and prayers, that's incredible good news, isn't it? And I said, what are you playing? And they said, Mahjong. I said, I've never seen Mahjong, and I don't know what the heck it was. It was more confusing than the FSU office. When I left, they were gone, and I went into Villages Hospital Friday to see Terry Marlin, who had her knee replaced before she moved to the club, take her communion. And I hear, I know you, sitting at the front desk in her greeter garb. You know, as a volunteer, bless you. And bless you. I said, I know you now, too. And I said, did you win? And she said, yes, we are Mahjong champions. Sometimes God allows us to revel and rejoice in His Son by the things we do in His name. But make no mistake about these two parables today. These are radical. Christianity is radical, and I embrace that, as you notice, full throttle. It is a radical teaching when Jesus says, well, the shepherd left the 99 to go get the one. They don't understand what he's talking about. And this woman spent a hard day labor sweeping for almost a worthless coin, and she found it. And what did both of them do? They rejoiced. Jesus saying, that's me. I do everything radical. I will not let one go astray without seeking them out, or the lost to try to find them. Oh, my heavens, after his resurrection, can you imagine the good news that they were saying, oh, we've all sinned and we've betrayed him, but he's still going to be seeking us. And that's for us. This is incredible good news. And I believe Jesus knows that about us. Because I want you to give thanks, but also actually theologically do some reflection. Rock of Ages Lutheran Church, who we helped to form with Hope Lutheran Church and Gloria Day, took 13 years to move into their new building. The Lord knows we're welcoming. The Lord knows we're good shepherds. The Lord knows we don't discriminate. The Lord knows we're not racist. The Lord knows these things. And He said, my Christ Lutheran Church, you'll be in your building in less than 4 years. My heavens, if that doesn't get you excited. No, there's cake! Because I believe in my heart that Jesus says this when we go into His new building. Yes, I've watched you make sure to know that it is my building and not yours. But because you are welcoming and you seek the lost and you welcome them, my building will be and is your building. Man, He doesn't need us to do any of that. Have you realized how far we've come? Because we keep to Him and His missions and ministries. Thanks be to God. Amen. Pastor Carlson, as he always told me, I'm going to continue to tell you. If I don't, remind me. The Lord be with you now. And Barb will dismiss us. She did great on the psalm, didn't she?
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Go in peace. Live in humility and generosity as Jesus teaches us. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Amen.